And as the kids go to children's church, we will continue our series on Meals with Jesus. And this morning we come to a meal that Jesus had at the home of Mary and Martha. I was trying to think, I've spoken on this same text, this passage, this meal at least, not too long ago, but I couldn't find exactly when. And then I thought, I can't really do a series on meals with Jesus without talking about this one, because there's so much that we learn from this great story. So many things that we learn about priorities, about what Jesus says is most important, about living for Him. So Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus live in this little town of Bethany, and you can see it's really close to Jerusalem. It's really just 2 miles away on the southeast of the Mount of Olives. And their home would become one of the regular stopping places for Jesus and his disciples during their ministry. Our story takes place in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And we'll begin just by reading those scriptures. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So Jesus and his disciples are traveling together, and it appears that as the disciples are going on to Jerusalem to find a place to stay, Jesus enters this little village of Bethany on his own. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. We know from elsewhere in the Gospels that Jesus didn't have a home of his own. He told his disciples that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, and if they were to follow him, they would have no place to lay their head. But whenever Jesus came through Bethany, he had a place to lay his head, because he stayed with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So when Martha heard that Jesus was in the village, all of her domestic instincts kicked in. You know what happened, don't you? I mean, you can just see it. She frantically began to straighten up the house. She scrubbed. She organized. She made Mary and Lazarus pick up their stuff and put it away too. I'm sure Martha was a whirlwind of activity. And when the house was finally presentable, she hurried off to find Jesus and to invite him into their home. I'm sure when she found him, he was tired because he had been traveling, he had been ministering. I'm sure he was more than a little hungry. And Martha was so excited to serve him and to feed him. Verse 38 says, "And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Now, Mary and Lazarus also live there, but there's no doubt whose house this is. It's Martha's house. Martha welcomed him into her house. And that's just the way these dynamics went in their family. Martha took care of things. Once Jesus was in her home, do you think her activity level slowed down any? I don't think so. Martha probably made a quick trip to the market, got some things for the meal, And then she hurried back and she cooked and she baked and she prepared the table. She was so busy serving Jesus that she didn't even realize that Jesus never even asked for a big fancy meal. He wasn't expecting that. In fact, he just wanted to spend time with his friends. He wanted to teach them. So a very simple meal with a messy house and a whole lot of time together would have been much more appropriate. But Martha didn't get it. But her sister did. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, when it says Mary sat at the Lord's feet, this is meaning something very specifically in this culture of Judaism. It's formal language that would have been used of a student who's learning from a rabbi. This is how it was described. Jesus was a rabbi, and Mary was his disciple sitting at his feet. It's such a beautiful image because in that time period, in that culture, women were not allowed to sit at the feet of a rabbi. Rabbinic tradition often got things very wrong when they went beyond what the scriptures had to say. And this is an area that they got things really wrong, because they said a woman shouldn't even be taught the scriptures. The first five books of the Old Testament are called the Torah, and they are for Jews the most important books. And rabbinic tradition said, may the words of the Torah be burned. They should not be handed over to women. So in other words, before you would take the Bible and teach it to a woman, you should just burn the Bible. That's what rabbinic tradition said. In another place it said, the man who teaches his daughter the Torah teaches her extravagance. Now, this is not what the Bible says. This is what these traditions, these rabbinic traditions said. And that was the view of women in the ancient world. But then Jesus came along. And Jesus rejected this misogynistic, unbiblical view that his culture held, and even that the culture of the religious people held. Jesus turned that all on its head. And sometimes today, Christianity and Christians are criticized by people in our culture because of the view of Christianity towards women. But we need to understand that Jesus did more to advance the cause of women in this world than any other person in history. He honored women. He lifted women up to a very special place of being his disciple even. Tim Keller, who's a famous pastor, said, Jesus is more of a feminist than any feminist today. Think about that. That's true. And he invited Mary to be his disciple. And she sat at his feet and listened to his teaching. So there's Mary listening to the teaching of Jesus, soaking it up. Now, Mary is known in the scriptures for being passionate in her worship of Jesus. For those of you taking the spiritual gifts class that we're doing in the cafeteria, you know that the Mary gifts are powerful gifts, and they're spiritual gifts. And that's all true. And at the end of this message, we'll see an occasion where Mary performed an extraordinary act of worship when she anointed Jesus for his burial with some very expensive perfume. But Mary was only able to worship in this way, only able to understand who Jesus was enough to worship him like that, because she first learned to sit at his feet and listen to his teaching. She learned who he was. She was riveted to every word that came out of Jesus' mouth. Otherwise, she would have never known to worship him the way that she did. So Mary is listening. Mary is learning. Mary is a disciple. That's what disciples of Jesus do. They learn from him. That's what we must learn to do as his disciples, to do a better job of just listening, taking time to be with him. That's Mary. And she's quite a contrast from Martha. What's happening to Martha while Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet and learning? What's happening in Martha's heart? Martha's starting to get very frustrated, isn't she? Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, this word distracted means literally to be pulled away from something. So Martha is pulled away from something by all the serving that she's doing and preparing for the meal and all of the work that she's doing. What is she being pulled away from? What is she being distracted from? She's being pulled away from Jesus, right? Do you see that? Mary's right there at his feet. Martha is pulled away. She's distracted. It's so ironic that Martha is pulled away from Jesus because of her ministering for Jesus. Do you see that? And I submit to you that this happens all the time. People are pulled away from Jesus because they are so busy ministering for Jesus. So our ministry for Jesus must never keep us from him. But I don't think anybody has that as their heart's desire. If you ask Martha, why are you serving Jesus like this? Why are you so frantic and making all these preparations? I don't think she would have said, I really just don't want to talk with him, and if I keep myself busy enough. That's not her desire. Some of you might be really busy in ministry here at Christ Community Church, doing a lot of really, really good things. But you're in that danger area where you could allow your service for Jesus to actually keep you from Jesus. So you have to be careful. Because nobody starts out that way. Well, if I just serve in all of these 17 ministries, that will keep me from having to deal with Jesus. No. Some of us probably are too busy. There's a balance here. There's always a balance, right? Some maybe aren't engaged enough in serving Jesus, and some may be taking on more than they're supposed to take on. But what we learn in this story is that it's most important to be connected with Jesus before we go do anything else. Something that's really easy to miss in this story is that Martha also wants to be sitting there at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. But she allows herself to be pulled away by all the work that she's doing. It's easy to do. We want to spend time with Him. We want to just read our Bible and listen. But there's so much work to do. So many good things to do. Martha had pots to stir. She had bread to cook. She had wine to pour. And she needs to make sure that all the food gets ready at the same time. Right? That's really important. Because you can't have one of the side items starting to get cold when the main course isn't even done yet. So she's got to balance all these things. She's back and forth from the kitchen to the table, back to the kitchen. And each time she makes this little trip into the table, she's catching little glimpses of the conversation. She's hearing a word here. She's hearing Jesus say something here. But she can't stay because she has to get back to those pots and pans. What else did she see every time she came into that table? Besides hearing Jesus, what else did she see? She saw her sister sitting there focused on Jesus. Completely oblivious to the fact that she needed help. She was doing all this work. So I can imagine Martha trying to send a message to Mary. Can't you just see it? She goes back to the kitchen and she bangs those pots and pans a little louder just so Mary will know. She comes into the table and she sets something down on the table, trying to get her attention. She wanted Mary to know that she was doing all of this work by herself. Have you ever felt like Martha? Have you ever felt like Martha in the church? Like you are doing all this work, and won't somebody just come and help me? Maybe that's how you're feeling right now. And what you really want, it's not just for people to help you, but you want to be able to sit at Jesus' feet yourself, grow your relationship with Him, and serve from there. So Martha's feeling that she wants to sit at Jesus' feet. And I'm sure every time she came in that room, she gave Mary that look. You know that look, don't you? I would say every sister pair would know what that look is. I think if you're married and you're a husband, you probably know that look. But Mary wasn't picking up on any of these hints. She kept giving Jesus her full attention. And finally, Martha just couldn't take it anymore. She was so frustrated and she snapped at Jesus. That's interesting. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. She was angry at Mary for not helping, but now she's angry at Jesus for allowing this to take place. Lord, do you not care? Martha's so sure that Mary is in the wrong here that it doesn't even occur to her that she might be the one that's in the wrong. I mean, it's all so clear to her. Jesus has a need. There's this obvious ministry opportunity, and Martha's helping to meet that need. She's serving in ministry with all of her heart, and so should Mary. Mary should be serving Jesus. See, Martha's a leader. Martha's a doer. She's so practical, so organized, so decisive. But she's so wrong in her view in this point. She's letting her service for Christ keep her from Christ. And that's a danger for those of us who are busy serving in the church. There's so much to do, so much work to do, so much good work. Well, Jesus answers, not the way Martha had hoped or expected, but the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus' correction is so perfect. It's direct, but it's gentle. It's loving. And maybe these words are the kind of loving, gentle correction some of us need. Martha, Martha. Whenever there's repetition in the Bible, it's significant. And Jesus is repeating her name as a way of showing his affection. David in the Old Testament one time says, "Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, my son." He's repeating his name to show his affection. When Jesus is looking over Jerusalem, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Repetition. Martha, Martha. Maybe you could put your own name in there. Jesus is calling your name. Say it twice. Martha, Martha. You are anxious and troubled about many things. What is she anxious and troubled about? These are good things. Martha is not distracted by secular, worldly things. She's not distracted by wasting her time reading romance novels. She's not wasting hours of time on Facebook or playing little games on her phone. I mean, she's doing good things. She's distracted with ministry. She's serving Jesus. Everything she's doing is for Him. So this thought is convicting for those of us who may be really busy in ministry, pastors. It's really easy to get busy with a lot of activity, and every bit of it is serving Jesus. But the danger is when the things we do for Jesus start keeping us from Jesus. From learning from Him. It's easy to grow anxious and troubled about all the things there are to do. And I would say some of us are anxious and troubled when we think of all the things, all the ministry, all the good things to do in the church. But because Martha has become anxious and troubled with all the work to do, she has now become irritated with other people. People who aren't serving the way she's serving, who aren't doing what she thinks they should do. I mean, we have all this work to do, and God has called us to do all this work, and nobody's helping me. It's easy to get frustrated with people. But each one of us needs to hear Jesus' words here. One thing is necessary. One thing. Martha, Martha. All this food that you've made for me, all this work that you've done for me, it's so nice. But it's so unnecessary. It's not what I was asking for. I just wanted to spend time with you. What is necessary is that you sit at my feet and learn from me. That's what's necessary. That's all that's necessary. Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, if you want your life to change, it will happen through the little daily decisions. Not through the big things that we do. It's the little daily decisions that we make. A lot of life works like this. I started an exercise program this week. And this is how it works. I called an old friend, and he's a personal trainer, and I said, I need help. And the main thing is just doing the little things day by day by day consistently for a long period of time. So that's where I'm at. That's what Jesus is talking about. Setting aside time daily to be with him, daily to learn from him. And to do that, you might have to stop doing some very good things in order to do the best thing. Martha's in this frazzled condition because she's not sitting at Jesus' feet. She's not spending time with him. So all that stuff she was doing, he didn't ask her to do it. Why is she doing it? She's doing it for herself, ultimately. His answer to her plea to get him to make her sister help is, no, I'm not going to ask Mary to help you. No. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. She's not letting the urgent, day-by-day things keep her from the most important thing. So Jesus holds Mary up as an example of what it means to be his disciple. She's our example. But what we know from the rest of the story in the New Testament is that not only did Mary continue to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him, but Martha learned how as well. She changed. She learned. One of the great confessions, there's two great confessions in the Bible. One by Peter, the other one is by Martha. Lazarus died, and Jesus was late in getting there when Lazarus was sick, so he arrived after Lazarus was dead. And we read in John 11, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asked to Martha. And she said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. One of the two great confessions in the New Testament. You are the Christ. Martha made that confession. She slowed down enough to learn who he was in order to say those words. What about Mary? In John 12, we read about her. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mary anointed Jesus with some very expensive perfume. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars worth of perfume in today's money, and she just pours it out on Jesus. This is her family fortune, probably. And she gives it in this extravagant act of worship. Why? Because she recognized who Jesus was. She's preparing him for his burial. She understood what the other disciples had missed, that Jesus is going to die, and she's preparing him. She's the only disciple who got it. The 12 didn't get it yet. She got it because she spent time sitting at Jesus' feet, listening and learning when others may have missed out because of their busyness. So we have 1,000 things competing for our attention in this world. And our lives are all busy. We have so much to do. But we need to rearrange things such that sitting at Jesus' feet and learning from him becomes our priority. That cannot be pushed to the side, even for the good things that we do. Sit at Jesus' feet. Learn from him. It's your number one responsibility. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you alone have the words of eternal life. And you have been so gracious to share those words with us. And so gracious to invite each one of us to sit at your feet and learn from you. Help us, Lord, to clear away all those distractions, to put them away, to not allow ourselves to be pulled away from you, even by good things. Help us to make time every day to sit at your feet and learn from you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.